through the mobile recording facilities of radio station WBIG of Greensboro, North Carolina, we bring you a special program presented by the North Carolina Association of New Farmers of America, affiliated with the National Organization of Negro Farm Boys, studying vocational agriculture, the largest Negro Youth Incorporated farm organization in the world. This program is given in honor of Dr. Booker T. Washington, founder of Tuskegee Institute. It comes to you from the Richard B. Harrison Auditorium on the campus of the Agricultural and Technical College, Greensboro, where the NFA is conducting its 15th annual state convention with Edward Francis, president, presiding.
This association will come to order. We are holding a meeting of the North Carolina Association of New Farmers of America. Are all officers at their station, Mr. Vice President?
I shall call a roll of officers to ascertain whether they are at their station and report back to you, Mr. President. The reporter.
Stationed under the flag of the United States of America.
Why the flag?
As the flag covers America, so should I strive to cover this country with information in order that the public may know that the New Farmers of America is a national organization found in all states having Negro rural schools.
The treasurer.
Stationed at the picture of Booker T. Washington.
Why the picture of Booker T. Washington?
I keep records of receipts and disbursement of Justice Washington kept his account. Careful and accurate. I encourage thrift among the members to strive to build up our financial standards through saving and investment. Booker T. Washington better able to serve his countrymen and posterity because he was financial and independent.
The secretary.
Stationed at the Bowl of Cotton.
What are your duties there?
I keep an accurate record of all meetings and correspond with other secretaries wherever cotton is grown and new farmers are organized.
Mr. Advisor.
Stationed at the Owl.
Why stationed at the Owl?
The Owl is a time-honored emblem of knowledge and wisdom. Being older than the rest of you, I'm asked to advise you from time to time as a need arises. I hope that my advice will always be based on true knowledge and ripen with wisdom. Mr. Vice President, why do you keep a plow at your station?
The plow is a symbol of labor and tillage of the soil. Without labor, neither knowledge nor wisdom can accomplish much. My duties require me to work for this organization in every way possible. I preside over meetings in the absence of our president, who stands beneath the rising sun, and assist him at all times in directing the work of the chapter.
Why is a president stationed beneath the rising sun?
The rising sun is the token of a new era in agriculture. If we will befall the leadership of our president, we shall be led out of the darkness of selfishness into the glorious sunlight of brotherhood and cooperation. Mr. President, all officers are at their station.
Thank you, new farmers. Why are we here?
To practice brotherhood, honorable opportunities and responsibilities, and develop those qualities of leadership which the new farmer of America should possess.
May we accomplish our purpose. I now declare the North Carolina Association of New Farmers of America duly open for the transaction of business. Mr. Secretary, what is the order of business?
At the last meeting, it was decided that a selected group of members would discuss briefly a few of the most important points brought out in their chapter discussions taken up from Dr. Washington's Up from Slavery and his speeches, which have been reviewed during the years.
Mr. Secretary, who are the persons who take part in this discussion?
Lawrence Zollicoffer, Littleton, Mel Powell, Bricks, Alvin Watford, Winton, James Reinhardt, Catawba, Ruffing McGee, Oxford, Albert Spruill, Columbia, and Dr. F.D. Bluford, president of A&T College, will serve as chairman.
The Dudley Quartet, which won the first place in this year's state contest, will sing a selection while the discussion group is being arranged.
Going to lay down my burden down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Going to lay down my burden down by the riverside, study war no more. Study war no more, England. Study war no more, England. Study war no more, study war no more, study war no more, study war no more, England. Study. I ain't gonna study war no more. Go study war no more. Go study war no more. Study war no more. Study war no more. Go study war no more. Go study war no more.
I understand you young men have made a special study of the books and speeches which the late Dr. Booker T. Washington wrote, and at this time you will mention briefly those statements he made which you regard the most important to your membership and to the public. Suppose we proceed with the discussion. Who wishes to lead off? Fine, Lawrence, proceed.
Dr. Washington made the following statement addressing Virginia Negro Organization Society in 1914. Quote, there are 450,000 Negroes sick in the South every day in the year. The sickness and death of so large a proportion of its population means an annual loss to the South of over $300 million. At least $150 million of this amount could be saved by taking measures to prevent disease by the simple caution which the Negro Organization Society in every way emphasizes. This $150 million saved would furnish 6 months of schooling for every white and black child in the South. Two raised in Virginia can cooperate and encourage a Negro, wherever he lives, to have a clean, sanitary, healthy community. End quote. While I'm sure that much progress has been made with regard to Negro health since 1914, but we realize that a large number of young men who have been turned down by selected service boards for war duty because of physical defect, we see there's much yet to be done.
Could you tell us what your chapter or association is doing about this matter of health?
I'd be glad to. First, we are working to have each member of the chapter have a physical examination. The home economics teacher are giving the boys instruction in nutrition, the correct things to grow and eat which are essential to health. We are helping to improve the rural water supply and conducting special cleanup programs in our home communities.
Thank you, Lawrence. Mayo, what is your point?
One of the members of my chapter called our attention to a fine thought brought out by our great leader in his address delivered before the Southern Industrial Convention, October 12, 1899. I quote, ignorance in many forms more costly to taxpayers than intelligence. Every black youth that is given this train of hand and strength of mind so that he is able to grasp the full meaning and responsibility of the meaning of life, so that he can go into some forest and turn the raw materials into wagons and buggies. Become a citizen who is able to add to the wealth of the state and to bear his share of the expenses of education and government. Do you suggest that this cannot be done? I answer that it has been done every day at Tuskegee and should be duplicated in 100 places in every southern state.
How does that statement relate to your program?
From my point of view, it seems that Dr. Washington's dream of 1899 has really come true. As today, there are more than 1,000 communities throughout our beloved Southland, given practical vocational training of hand and head to more than 50,000 Negro youth. Approximately 4,000 of that number are here in North Carolina, many of whom have aided our country greatly in its defense program.
Let us hear from Ruffin. He has been trying to get to speak for quite some time.
Seems to me as a group of farm boys, we should get much inspiration from the main thought brought out in Dr. Washington's first major address in 1884, Madison, Wisconsin. I quote, I say that any individual who learns to do something better than anybody else, learn to do a common thing in an uncommon manner, has solved this problem, regardless of the color of his skin, and in that proportion as the Negro learned to produce what other people wanted and must have, in the same proportion would he be respected. I spoke of an instance where one of our graduates had produced 260 bushels of sweet potatoes from an acre of ground, in a community where the average production had only been 49 bushels to the acre. The farmers in that neighborhood respected him and came to him for ideas regarding the raising of sweet potatoes. These farmers honored and respected him because he had, by his skill and knowledge, had added something to the wealth and the comfort of the community in which he lived. End, unquote. We find that same recognition given vocational students when he displayed unusual skill in beautifying lawns, producing livestock and crop projects.
I'm glad you young men realize that quality will always bring a rich reward. James, give us your contribution.
Dr. Washington made astute a talk to the students at Hampton in 1907, which we at New Farmers of America would do well to read and put into practice this very day. The subject of the address was the higher and lower life. Here's what he said. As you go to the farm, the shop, the classroom, you will find yourself yielding to temptation and asking the question, how little service can I perform to get my proper wage and proper credit? That individual feels while he is in school and after he goes out into life. On the other hand, the students who ask these questions, how much can I put into this service? How many hours of work can I put in? How can I improve myself upon the kind of labor I performed yesterday? Gets ahead of the other fellows every time, my friend. If time to begin work is at 7 o'clock in the morning, you be there 10 minutes before 7. If time to quit work is at 5 o'clock, you remain 15 minutes after 5 o'clock. After the other fellows are gone, you stay a little longer and ask, is there not some service I can perform? Is there not something else you want done? The fellow who is always considering his own selfish interest is not the man who succeeds. The man who is trying to live the higher life in all lines are the individual who will not only succeed here, but will also succeed after he leaves school. The world will be looking to you instead of you looking to the world for service.
You really made a fine selection. It has great value for all youth and adults, too. Dr. Washington's ability to get that point over to his students had much to do with their success and the fact that Tuskegee students were always in great demand. May we hear from Alvin.
It is generally thought that Dr. Washington's Cotton States Exposition speech was his masterpiece. The members of my chapter were not only impressed with the speech, but also with the democratic procedure employed in planning and carrying out the exhibition, including the attitude displayed by President Cleveland when he visited the Negro Building. It seems fitting that we might consider Dr. Washington's appeal on the point of race relations. I quote, to those of the white race who look to the incoming of those of foreign birth and strange tongue and habits for the prosperity of the South, were I permitted, I would repeat what I say to my own race. Cast down your buckets where you are. Cast it down among the 8 million Negroes whose habits you know, whose fidelity and love you have tested in days when to have proved treacherous meant the ruin of your firesides. Cast down your buckets among these people who have, without strikes and labor wars, tilled your fields, cleared your forests, built your railroads and cities, and brought forth treasures from the bowels of the earth, and helped make possible this magnificent representation of the progress of the South. Casting down your buckets among my people, helping and encouraging them as you are doing on these grounds, and with the education of the head, hand, and heart, you will find that they will buy your surplus land, make blossom the waste places in your fields, and run your factories, unquote. The fact that we were able to establish 24 departments of vocational agriculture in this state this year shows again that both races are working together in carrying out Dr. Washington's educational philosophy. This radio program is an example of the type of cooperation for which he worked.
Albert, will you conclude this discussion by telling briefly some of the major achievements of the chapters and state associations?
10 of our chapters have conducted special health examinations for its members. 48 of our 84 chapters took part in the special camp and leadership schools last summer. The Pender County boys, together with the cooperation of the other school children, collected 6,000 pounds of junk iron and gave it over to the County Red Cross Union. Many of the other chapters have carried out a similar project. All members are taking an active part in the Victory Gardens at home and in the community. A large number of boys have increased and added peanuts and soybeans for oil production as a part of their wartime farm program. Definite steps have been taken to get more of our members established in farming. The most outstanding achievement of the year was our statewide Thanksgiving project, put over for the benefit of the Negro orphanage at Oxford. Our gifts amounted to more than $600 in cash and $2,000 in food and feed commodities.
I wish to commend the New Farmers of America for the most unique manner in which you have gone about acquainting your membership and the public with Dr. Washington's philosophy, and also for your own fine achievements.
Mr. T.E. Brown, State Director of Vocational Education, will introduce the next speaker.